In this edition of the Edgar podcast, we talked to Australian Julia Bowen, who had a serious motorcycle accident 30 years ago and took up golf. Julia has never looked back and would recommend the game to anyone for its physical and mental health benefits. This is Julia's story.
And it was a really scary thing for me because I've always been this big, tough, take on the world type person. And to feel scared just because there are all these people around me, most of whom are half my size anyway, it's like, wow, what the hell's happening to me? That was a big wake-up call.
This description followed one of Australian Julia Bowen's first days out after 3 months in hospital in Sydney in 1996, following a bad motorbike crash. The problems faced by serious injury in a long period of rehab can affect people in different ways. Meet Julia today, and she appears so confident and such a lover of life, you simply can't picture her clamming up at a busy tourist centre, wanting to flee the scene. Thankfully, 27 years on, and that smiling, take-on-the-world character has more than recovered her steel and is looking to do just that. At the age of 60, if you try to slow her down, Julia will probably swear at you under her breath. But at the same time, if you want to gain some positive energy about work, life, golf, or all of the above, then Julia might be just the person who could provide this for you. In terms of work, clarity in decision-making might be on offer, the what works instead of management ego. On life, how to get out from being trapped under a car, managing chronic pain but still pushing forward, keeping active and setting goals, cracking jokes, while being straight with people and thoughtful towards others are all part of the recipe, it seems. And what about golf? From finding something she loved to help her well-being and recovery from serious injury, to competing with an 85-year-old friend and laughing in defeat, to, somewhat tipsily, caddying for Martin Kamer, to the kind of focused determination which has got her down to a scratch handicap, and her recent qualifying to play in the prestigious G4D Tour Scandinavian Mixed in June 2023, Julia's experiences can surely inspire others as to the value of golf as a sport. For Julia, she says, it's everything about the game. She loves golf and says that she would recommend it, without missing a heartbeat, to anyone who has been injured or is impaired.
I enjoy the challenge that golf brings. I mean, it's both the most frustrating and the thing that brings me the most pleasure is that it's so hard. You know, it's the one thing where I'm just going, you know, at times I'm like, I'm never going to conquer this. And I'm not, because nobody ever does, right? And it's funny how every now and then, like when I got that invitation to Sweden, I thought, oh, shit. Yeah, maybe I am quite a good golfer. And Peter's like, for Christ's sake, you shut up. I'm sick of hearing this. Because I keep measuring yourself against this higher and higher standards. You have to work for it. And I do enjoy that. Maybe I'm just sick. But I enjoy the fact that you never get as good as you want to be and you never hit the perfect shots you want to be. And at times I get a bit annoyed with myself because I think I ought to celebrate my wins a bit more. Not just wins of tournaments and what have you, but, you know, if I achieve some amazing shot or I, you know, get a really good round or what have you, I should be going, yeah, you know, I'm like, I'm really good. And I'm like, thank God I managed that.
This is about testing herself as much as winning trophies. The great thing about the scoring system and the golf handicap is that they can set up wonderful matches for friends of different abilities and even generations.
I play with a lady quite a bit who's 85. Right. She's about like 3 foot nothing tall, you know, weighs 3 stone ringing wet. And she used to play up quite a low handicap, been a past club champion at the Lakes. She's been a member there for 64 years. And she routinely beats me in a Stableford game because she's playing off 35. I think I played with her on Sunday and she beat me by a point.
Interestingly, even a person who seems very confident savours the welcoming atmosphere of a good golf club as a safe environment for a person with disability.
As a woman, I'm typically, like at Longreefers, I go there on my own and disabled, and they know I'm disabled. I can feel safe. It's like it's a really safe place for me to be. I can just go out and have fun and I don't have to worry, you know, about whether I'm going to get attacked, whether I'm going to get vilified, whether I'm going to get ridiculed. I might get ridiculed, actually. I get ridiculed a bit, but that's because of my mouth, not because of my shoulder.
This mouth of Julia's, plain speaking, not wanting to get bogged down by the mundane, and also to make friends laugh. With a multifaceted career in management in the commercial field, first in IT and telecommunications, and then healthcare, and more latterly in the charity sector, she is a busy person. Meeting her, you get the feeling she is honest with herself about her capabilities and flaws, and expects the same from others. But then, Julia will laugh in such an infectious and disarming way that you just want to hear her laugh again. But for Julia, it's also been a life which has had plenty of pain. In 1996, age 34, Julia was on her motorbike returning home from work in Sydney on a dark evening, not far from the famous Sydney Harbour Bridge, when a driver ploughed across the intersection and ran her down and over, pinning Julia to the concrete with a car when it came to rest.
I was riding home and a car came out of a side street on a like four-lane road, skiffled a couple of other cars on the way through at night, no lights on, and ran over my head and parked on my shoulder, basically, which was a bit scary. Luckily, it was right outside the fire station in Crow's Nest, which is north of the Harbour Bridge. And the fireman, apparently, I couldn't see any much because I was basically under the car. He said, yeah, we heard the crash. We're having a cup of tea or something. And we heard the crash and we came outside and we knew immediately what we had to do because coming out from underneath the car was some very firm instructions.
And that was more plain speaking from Julia to keep things moving. A group of people lifted the car up away from her, with her right arm basically hanging off, as she says, and her lying in pain on the ground. In her shock, she became worried about her dislocated little finger and asked a fireman to pop it back in.
So this guy goes, sweetheart, he said, you are not going back on for the second half.
Julia admits the rehabilitation was tough, as was coming to terms with now living with severely limited use of her right arm and what would develop into a degenerative spinal complaint following her accident, despite more recent surgeries.
And I had 3 months in hospital doing nothing, you know, to think about it. And it was awful because being sporty and being active had been so much part of my life. I mean, I know it's only, you know, at that point, the really big injury was really only my right arm and shoulder, but it just meant I couldn't do anything. And when I came out, I remember, because I'd always played a lot of tennis, was a really big part of my social life. I used to play with friends and played at a decent level. And because I had a lot of crush injuries, my heart and my liver. And it was really weird because when I came out of hospital, after being there for 3 months, I remember I went down to Circular Quay. Well, the ferries come in across the harbour. And there were all these people and I just freaked out and had to sort of like go and hide in a corner. And it was a really scary thing for me because I've always been this big, tough, take on the world type person. And to feel scared just because there were all these people around me, mm-hmm. most of whom are half my size anyway, it's like, wow, what the hell's happening to me? That was a big wake-up call.
The pain remains constant, she explains, but it can sometimes hit her harder even now. It sweeps into her spine, legs, shoulder and down her arm, and the only possible respite is via painkillers.
I take, I think, 8 pills in the morning if I'm playing golf, but only 6 if I'm not.
In typical Aussie style, Julia doesn't like to complain, including joking about the accident with wry humour. That's why it is surprising to learn that she was actually born and raised in Dorset, southwest England, the Thomas Hardy country of village greens, Morris dancers, and the coast around her home in Portland. Like all English kids back in the day, she would have joked about digging to Australia. Her father, Timothy, was a science teacher turned accountant, and her mother, Patricia, was a maths teacher. In 1985, in her early 20s, she married an Australian naval officer stationed on Portland and moved to Australia, first to the government town and capital of Canberra, before moving to Sydney in 1987 when pregnant with her daughter Amelia and settling there. But Australians would be proud to claim Julia. A sprinter at school, she would use her long stride and tall frame to run a best of around 11.2 seconds for the 100 metres at the age of 16, and would find herself in the same race at Crystal Palace with the famed GB runner Cathy Smallwood-Cook, who would later win 3 gold medals in sprint relay in the Commonwealth Games and 3 bronze medals in the Olympics in and around the early 1980s. Such was her sporting pedigree that in 1977, Julia would become one of the very first female rugby union referees in the world. Indeed, it was at an Australia v England rugby international, with the Aussie players greeting her as they ran by, that she first realised that she'd become a genuine Aussie.
As I was walking out from the corporate tent out to the stadium, the Aussie rugby team ran past, like just jogging on their way thing, and they went, "Hey, Jules, hey, Julie, how are you going, Julia?" I just realised that I didn't know any of the England team, but yeah. I knew almost all of the Australian team, and I thought, no, this is my home.
Following her accident, golf didn't appear on Julia's wavelength for another 5 years or so. Instead, she threw herself into her work as a senior executive for a multinational telecommunications firm before redundancy led her to pause and take stock of life.
And I'd never not worked. So I went home and I remember sitting there like day one going, what do people do when they don't have a job? I thought, you know what, I really missed being a competitive sports person. And because of my, you know, because of the disability, there's not very many sports I can be competitive at. And I thought, you know what, golf has got a handicap system. Sounds like it's made for me, right? I can play as long as I can, you know, because I've still got relatively good control of my hands, the only thing I can't do is rotate my arm or lift it. So as long as a golf swing can incorporate that, you know, we'll give it a go.
Her first experience of club golf in a ladies' section didn't go well for Julia, and she says she felt marginalised just for wanting to improve her game and take it seriously. But she took lessons and played and practised every day for 6 months, seeing her handicap drop from 45 to 16. Things changed markedly when she went to join Longreef Golf Club and then the Lakes Golf Club near Sydney, where she continued to improve into single figures and then the Hallowed Scratched and plus 0.1 of recent times. With these improvements, her expectations heightened. Julia has recently played in Golf Australia's Victorian and Queensland Inclusive Championships and all four PGA WebEx Players Series events. Because of her condition, Julia doesn't really practice. She'll warm up a bit and maybe hit a few balls, but any real practice is chipping or on the putting green. Here, she clearly revels in having a delicate and sound touch, the secret to a good scoring formed by her confidence in holding decent putts and having the courage to get out of tight spots. Julia met her partner Peter in 2010 through work. He is a registered psychologist and needs all his professional skills when caddying for me, Julia says. The pair are immersed in the regular golf scene at Longreef and the Lakes. One of her favourite stories is how, when she and Peter had got a little merry on Australian red wine in the clubhouse, Julia ended up caddying for a hole in a corporate event for former US Open champion and Ryder Cup hero Martin Kaymer. Sitting in her buggy, her stage whisper of "too far right," followed by a splash, was heard by all, so Kaymer enlisted her help on the next couple of shots. After all, she was club champion at the time. And the result was an eagle on the iconic par 5 11th hole and a photograph of Martin Kaymer and Julia smiling together that has pride of place at home. Julia's busy work in the charity sector means golf also helps her just to switch off a little from the buzz of work.
For me, focusing on a golf shot and all the bits and pieces, what's it, 37 things you've got to do and the 38 you've got to not do, all of that, but just that, walking around, going up to a ball, doing something that is simple and as complex at the same time as hitting this little ball is the ultimate switching off, because you can't do it well if you've got all this other stuff going on in your head.
Julia's appearance on the G4D Tour in the Scandinavian Mixed was the latest landmark in her golfing journey from novice in 2002. She says she really enjoyed meeting all the other Edgar players involved.
It was just nice to meet all these other people who've sort of been through a lot of similar sorts of things, you know, to what I've been through. And it's like, yeah, we're just all there together. And I really like the whole inclusive Edgar thing. I think, you know, that you're just, yeah, come on in. There's obviously the formal process of ensuring that the disability that you have actually does impact your game. And I think that's entirely reasonable. I was actually quite surprised when they said, oh, yeah, you easily qualify. I thought, oh, that's quite nice. But I've never really sort of thought of myself as being part of that community. And now I feel like I really am. And having met obviously a lot more with this WebEx series that I got invited to play in, met a lot more of them through that as well. I listened to their stories.
Referring back to her accident and its aftermath, Julia tells us,
this has absolutely altered my life. You know, I've made various decisions along the way about things I can do and can't do, you know, career decisions It sounds silly, but because I can't use my right arm very much, there's certain careers that are just not open to me. It's not, you know, and so it's not just about what sport I can play. And the fact that I'm in a community of other people who have been through that to a lesser or mostly probably greater degree, it just feels, like I say, it feels safe. As a woman in a sporting community, I think that's actually very important.
Julia is conscious that there are a lot of people to thank concerning her golf. Crucially, her partner Peter, for his never-ending patience, both at home and on the golf course. Also, Christian Small, Julia's coach for the past 10 years or so. For, as Julia says, working with my limitations to get my golf to where it is now. And, she writes, the many and varied friends I have made over the past 20 years at golf, who have supported, encouraged, and reassured me that I'm actually quite a decent golfer. She'd like to thank the entire team at Edgar, who have created an amazing system and culture that makes all of this possible, and the Australian PGA and DP World Tour for creating the opportunities to experience major tournaments. Julia told us that she has enjoyed so many rounds with fellow golfers who understand the spirit of the game and how it should be played, and thus the list could be longer. However, with her rich humour, her take on the world character, and her wanting to drive others to reach their best too, we expect Julia is on quite a few thank you lists like this as well. This Edgar podcast was written and narrated by Ben Evans, and the sound production was by Martin Maynard of Sounds Good. You can find more stories of people with a disability thriving through golf in the profiles section of the Edgar website at edgargolf.com, and you can contact members of our team through the website.